Well, good afternoon. Welcome, everybody, to the Ag Market Network monthly cotton market teleconference. I'm Pat McClatchy. Our program is brought to you by BASF, the owners of Fibermax and Stoneville Cottonseed. They make our program and have for quite a long time possible, and we appreciate them. Today we're going to do things a little differently. We're going to have Kip Butts talking about the crop report that came out today, and then he'll be followed by Dr. John Robinson, who will talk a little bit about what he's heard about the farm bill. And at that time, we'll try to open up the lines in case there's some questions. We'll just kind of see how that goes. So, Kip, thanks for leading us today.
Thank you, Pat. Not much to talk about today. This report was not terribly exciting. Well, the market kind of told us that, too. Although the market did trade a little bit in and out, it really is an uneventful report. You know, the beginning stocks of the U.S. were unchanged coming in because there are no changes to last year's supply-demand report. Production was down in total about around 10,000 bales. Georgia was increased a couple of 100,000 bales. Texas decreased about the same. And then there was some mix and match kind of in different states that wound up the total about 10,000 down. No changes on our U.S. imports, our consumption from the last report. Exports, however, went down a couple of 100,000 bales. I don't think that was a terrible surprise given how we performed so far. And also, we saw a little bit of weakness in the world consumption. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Anyway, that 200,000 bale decline sort of just went down the bottom line. So ending stocks were increased to 4.3, which is about 33% of the stocks to use. The yield was unchanged on this report, and the farmer price was unchanged at about 66 cents. So again, there was not a whole lot really exciting to talk about here. The world numbers showed beginning stocks down about 610,000. The bulk of that was in India. And production was down about 460,000 bales. The bulk of that was Pakistan and Central Asia. Pakistan was down a couple of 100,000, and Central Asia was down almost the rest of that, if you include all the mixes and matches. So it wasn't really too much exciting in there. Imports, I should just say world trade was down about 290,000 bales. I think about the biggest on that was Turkey down about 400,000. Actually, that's on imports, I should say. And I think Pakistan was down 100,000 tons. Checked. I'm not sure about that. Anyway, consumption, world consumption was down 515,000. The bulk of that was Turkey at 400,000. Pakistan was down 100, so I did tell you something incorrect there. Oh, no, that's right. And the ending stocks were down 580,000 bales. India was 400,000. That Pakistan was 100,000. So, again, if you just look at these numbers from about 50,000 feet, there's nothing really compelling here to move the market one way or the other in my mind. If I've missed something, guys, let me know, because I really don't – I didn't see a whole lot of in this report that was really newsworthy. I think that – the bottom line, just looking at the numbers, would be a neutral to, just very slightly bearish, if at all. And the only reason why I say it might be a little bearish is that consumption still looks like it's kind of trending down. But, you know, there are a lot of moving parts here. We just had an election in the U.S., and there's going to be some kind of uncertainty here for a while until we see how some of the world economies react to this election. I think that that could have at least a small impact on world trade. But the consumer, as far as in the U.S., has really held up well, and not always just in the textile industry, which it's kind of been in and out and around. On balance, consumers are still very strong. It's going to be interesting to see how it goes over the next year or so. Guys, I think that's about all that needs to be said, at least from my perspective, on the numbers today. Did anybody see something I missed, or did I make an error?
That's pretty much how I would size it up, Kip.
Okay. Well, good enough then. Given that there are no real comments on these numbers today, maybe we just move this into something that might have a little bit more importance, and that's the Farm Bill, and maybe what you might have learned on that. So, John, would you kind of update us on what we?
Yeah, you brought up the political uncertainty, and that's a good segue into talking about there are various multiple ongoing discussions about how to help farmers, safety net related issues. So I'm going to divide them up into two groups. First, there's a group of discussions that are going on around what I'm going to call regularly scheduled programming, and that would be one of the annual federal appropriations, that's spending bills, that is scheduled to get finished in December, and if it doesn't, it's going to have to be put forward as a continuing resolution. But anyway, they're talking about a spending bill. They are also, in this lame duck session, speculating about whether or not a farm bill, that's a reauthorization of the Title I price support, income support, safety net programs, and all the other programs within a farm bill. That's a regularly scheduled thing that happens every 5 years or so, except when they can't pass a new one, so they just extend it. And here we are kind of late in the game with the 25-year not that far away, and there's speculation that they might not be able to finish a full-blown, full enchilada farm bill reauthorization. And part of that's because of complicating factors. We have a new administration. We have new congressional leadership. We have expiring tax cuts. We're going to have looming arguments about the budget. And so there's some thought that we may not be able to get all that done in the lame duck session. But the reason I mentioned the spending bill in conjunction with the farm bill is I was told that there is a very, very, very slim chance that if they, rather than a continuing resolution, if they pass a real spending bill, that they might carve out the parts of the farm bill, the Title I safety net parts of it, and stick it in that spending bill if a spending bill is going to get passed. I was told that was a low probability sort of outcome, but it was on somebody's mind, so they pass that on to me. But short of that happening, the focus is on other short-term, possibly more successful attempts to get support to farmers outside of a farm bill, and that would be a whole other set of discussions, which boil down to two things. One would be what I'll call a conventional ad hoc disaster assistance type of effort. We've seen those kind of things in the past when we've had production losses, droughts, things like that. And that's what these discussions now are focusing on. We've had 2 years of bad crops, bad weather, our share of hurricanes, wildfires, things like that in 23 and 24. And so that's generated discussion about, well, can we put together an ad hoc disaster program where they'll figure out some way to calculate payments to growers in of particular crops in particular regions and get some money their way to make up for the losses. That's one discussion. A second discussion is what they're calling economic assistance, and that's focused more on events in 2024 involving high costs and low prices and the price cost squeeze that's the result of that. And so that discussion has actually taken some shape. I'm told that some Southern State Farm bureaus kind of developed some ideas and put them forward, and one of OA's neighboring congressmen, Trent Kelly of Mississippi, sponsored something called the Farm Assistance and Revenue Mitigation, or FARM, cleverly named, Farm Act of 2024, and what that's doing is providing emergency assistance of growers of eligible commodities who essentially have experienced losses because of high costs and low prices. And so that program, if it goes forward in the way that it's been proposed, would be to calculate payments to growers of eligible crops and rather than go through laborious payment calculation approaches or anything, I would refer anybody who wants more information on it. There's some good online description of both the bill and the payments, the possible payments if it goes all the way through. And that would be on a publication that Extension people like me put out across the South called SouthernAgToday.org. That's all one word, SouthernAgToday.org. On the October 24th issue, there's a very good discussion of the Farm Act. But it's being talked about. I heard, you know, a few people say they thought in the short run this was the most likely thing that might get passed during the lame duck, and so that the focus is just on extending the farm bill for next year and having a continuing resolution on that spending bill and trying to tackle this Farm Act here during the lame duck session. You know, having said that, nobody can say what's ultimately, whether it'll pass, whether it has support outside of the South, you know, who knows? I can't answer those questions, but That's where the focus is right now, is on this short-run effort to pass something that would get money to producers, frankly, faster than passing a farm bill would, because the farm bill safety net provisions wouldn't put money in people's accounts until like next October or something. So this is a way to pass something in the short run that would get stuff to growers faster. With that, Pat, I'll try to answer any questions, but I'll tell you in advance, I'm probably going to refer people to the online descriptions for more detailed study.
Okay, and you know, we very well might have some listeners that can contribute something that they're hearing. So I'm going to unmute these phones, but if it gets a little too loud, I'll have to mute them again. So let's go ahead and open it up. If you've got any questions for anybody, if you've got any input on this, please feel free. So we'll get it opened up. Any statements or questions about possible farm bill?
But don't scrub it. Try placing the tube back in its socket, holding it there with gentle pressure. If that's not possible, put the tooth in milk or a saline solution.
Anybody got any statements or any questions?
If your tooth falls out...
Yeah, I do. Hey, John, this is Gerald. Do you know how much effort or emphasis there is on trying to increase the loan rate from 52 cents up to wherever?
Gerald, I haven't heard anything about the loan rate. What I have heard is that if and when they get around to passing a
property, they not read the House passed.
That it would focus on getting high.
Sorry.
Not focus on the farm bill payment rate, but a focus on the PLC reference prices, which would raise that payment rate, and also doing something to enhance the ARC program, which are the two sort of major elements, the PLC and the ARC program, that people, growers, choose one or the other as their prime safety net from year to year. And so there is some thought about that a new farm bill would improve those payment rates.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Yeah.
Any other questions? All right. We never did really get to the discussion on the crop report. Anybody else have any thoughts on today's report?
Well, Pat, this is O.A. I'm going to, as we hear in the political world so much lately, I'm going to answer your question without answering your question at all, probably not even talk about it. I'm kind of in and out of today's discussion, and I thought I heard make a comment about the political economy that we're seeing right now, and I'm not sure I heard everything he said, but the one of the major things that's bothering me right now considerably as I look at demand for cotton as we move forward would be the general economy in itself, and the fact that backlog orders for manufacturing and whatever business just dropped to my expression is near zero, but that's absolutely totally incorrect. But we We just don't have much in the background manufacturing activity or production activity from the economy, and I think there are some very serious concerns that we have, and that coupled with the fact that so much of the U.S. debt is going to have to be this is not a political comment. It's going to have to be refinanced. Secretary Yellen set it up that way. It would have affected the Democratic administration if there is a new one, or it's going to affect the Republican administration, because that is apparently what we're going to have. It would affect them both the same, but we're going to see some fairly high interest rates continued, in my opinion. A month ago when we spoke, we noticed that the 10-year Treasury had jumped back up slightly above 4%, and now it's about 4.3%, and it just tells us that our interest rates are going to continue to take a huge bite out of our budget. Doesn't matter who the president is, and it doesn't matter. And saying it doesn't matter who the president is, and neither president nor potential candidate could do anything about it. It's the way Secretary Yellen has it set up, and they're going to have to begin refinancing government debt at a higher rate than what they were paying. So that's just going to add to the inflation, and it doesn't matter, again, whether it be Republican or Democrat. Getting a hold on U.S. inflation is going to be a major challenge. The inflation has not gone away. It will probably resurface, not to the tune that we had under the first 3 years, 2.5 years of prior administration, but it's still going to be something that we live with. And the Fed has signaled that it's not concerned about inflation or the stable prices or stable economy as much as it's concerned about the tremendous debt that the finance system, the banking system, has from their prior misjudges in interest rates. Yesterday's signal to drop rates further, and the president-elect said that he wants rates lower. That's really going to help the banking system, which may need more help than we recognize. And at the same time, it's going to keep rates higher. So that's a cost of production that's not coming down. Thank you for your time.
Okay.
Excuse me. One quick comment I'd like to make on what I was saying there. Maybe I misunderstood him, but yesterday, the Fed chairman Powell was very clear that there had been no decision made on rates in the future. It would be dependent on the data. And some of the things he's talked about would suggest that maybe what Oway's indication was that if the economy goes the way he is insinuating, we might not see those interest rates move as much as some people are sort of indicating now. So I just want to make it clear that is an uncertain sort of thing, and I think the secretary Chairman Powell made that very clear yesterday at that conference. At least that's the way I received it.
I would ditto that. That's what he said.
Yes.
All right, well, let's get some market opinion. And let's start with Gerald. Gerald, what are your thoughts on the market, what we might see?
Well, at least until we get through the roll period, and especially, Goldman Sachs, I don't know that we're going to do a whole lot of anything. 70 cents on the downside, maybe we climb up to 72 cents. I don't know, but it's going to stay in a pretty tight trading range until we get all these decks rolled out somewhere. And then I think we're going to try to fight our way higher. At one time I really thought we had a shot at 80 cents, maybe as much as 81 cents, and it may still be there, but I think we've got to, mellow out those expectations a little bit. I was a little bit disappointed today with, 200,000 bale reduction and U.S. exports, and you look at all the other major exporters, and they weren't affected at all. It's like, really? We have to shoulder a reduction in world trade? And maybe that was just the easy thing to do, you know, knock the U.S. down, then they don't have to decide how they want to divvy it up between the other countries. I thought it was a little soon to knock U.S. exports down. We'll find out soon enough, I suppose, if that's right. But I do think that there's a little bit more business going on than what these export sales numbers are telling us. And, you know, what I'm picking up is that, you know, there's a wider array of countries who are interested. So this market tries to break and then it bounces back. So it seems like it's got really good support right down there between 69 and 70 cents. But it's also got a heck of a lot of resistance right now, you know, above us at between 71 and 72 cents. I don't know which way we'll break out of this trading range, but my preference would be we're probably going to try to break out toward the upper end. If for no other reason than I think around the beginning of January, if we need cotton next year, I mean, this market's going to have to start buying some acres. I think that's going to help pull prices up. Probably the top side for the March contract might be somewhere around 76 cents. Maybe 80, maybe 78 cents, but, I think this thing is going to pop. It just, you know, I thought it was going to pop a little bit more. I just don't know about it now, but, this is always a difficult time of the year because December has so much open interest. You've got so much rolling going on today. Well, the last 3 days, and we're going to have another 2 days next week of more rolling. It's going to be hard to get a good feel for this market until we get past this roll period and into our typical seasonal low of, you know, sometime around Thanksgiving. That's a long way to say, hey, 69 cents on the downside, 76 cents on the upside. Sorry about that.
Okay, John.
Well done. Thank you.
And we'll let you follow him, John.
Ordinarily, I would take a lazy approach and slap a 10-cent range somewhere, but I'm just feeling less about the possibility of the upside, so I would slap an 8-cent range and say 68 to 76. And I would also echo that somebody asked me the other day about the possibility of a Christmas rally, and so I went looked at the pattern of December, new crop December prices, and historically there is a seasonal pattern that of higher prices usually starting in the preceding December, so the seasonal support what Gerald was saying about strength into the new year, but anyway, I'd say 68 to 76.
Okay, Kip.
Now when you were talking about that season, you were talking about new crop, weren't you?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. I wanted to be sure. I thought that's what you were talking about. I'm kind of along the same lines right now that John is. I'm not as optimistic for the upside of this market in the near term. Not to say something can't happen, but I'm thinking I like his 68 to about 76, 77 cents on the upside. But there's just not a whole lot, at least in my mind, and there's a lot of uncertainty in the short term. So that really doesn't inspire people to run out here and buy or sell. But I certainly agree with Gerald's comment that right now we're with this roll going on and the other things, it just makes it pretty challenging to sort of try to put a fine pencil to this.
Okay. OA, what are your thoughts on the market?
Well, I have some real mixed comments here. First, I'll give some good ones. I'm very excited to see the market above 70 cents, getting that the roll is the Goldman Rolls 3 days into its life. Came on about 69 cents or so. Gerald, correct me, but we're higher into this roll, so that's huge. Certainly, we were down the Jim Rogers role, the smaller role, but I think that's huge. I'm disappointed that when Gerald came to Mississippi, he didn't come to see me. We legalized medical marijuana about 2 years ago, and from listening to a couple of his comments, he's, according to take a phrase from Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana, he's been smoking the devil's lettuce. I don't see anywhere near 80 cents, even if you go hog wild. I'd love to be wrong. But I don't see anywhere near 76 cents in this old crop. I don't see that we need to get the market up at all to plant cotton next year. We're not looking at prices for cotton as much as we're looking at the price of corn and the price of soybeans. We're also looking at the yields that we've had. Yes, it's very disappointing for growers. They certainly have more emotion than I do about this. They're the ones that are losing money, and their bankers are not going to finance them. But, again, we don't have cover your cost of production targets. Only thing we have the market has to do is cover Brazil's cost of production and cover India's cost of production. We don't have to worry about covering the cost of production here in the United States. The market isn't. It should, as far as we're concerned. But then in that sense, who needs cotton next year? Brazil's going to give us all we want. India's going to give us all we want. As far as Gerald and I talked yesterday, I asked him about a 200,000 bale reduction in exports, and I see it coming. But I agreed with him that it's too early. USDA just doesn't reduce it that quick. But for them to reduce it this month is a little scary to me. I thought without question it was coming down. Bottom line, that's where we're headed to. I think we will increase U.S. carryover. I see us increasing consumption at all. USDA had to take the reduced world consumption out of the U.S. That's where it's been taking it all year, our last 2 years. That's where it's been coming from anyway. We can't stick our chest out anymore and pump on our chest and say, oh, we are the world's cotton kingdom. We're not. Well, we just got to get over that and move forward. We might can still regain some of that, but it's not there. Now then, I do have one more spot of good news, in my opinion. I think this smaller crop that we're getting, I think this reduction in carryover, world carryover, bodes well for December 25 getting back up 80 cents. I think that's there. But old crop is toast. There is the world cotton consumer and the U.S. cotton consumer just has turned away from cotton, and there are absolutely no efforts to increase that, increase our consumption. Until that comes up, you don't have a market without demand, and we do not have demand. But I do remain very positive to get to 78 to 82 cents in deck 25, and then we'll just have to go from there. I'd love to be wrong, old crop. Trust me, I'd love to be wrong, old crop. Maybe we get to 74 cents. Maybe if you can do 74, you can do 75. But that would be my top. I think what we have seen, I'm very comfortable with. We don't have to worry about 66, 67, and probably even 68 cents anymore. So this 69-cent area hopefully is going to be the bottom. So we'll have some ability to trade 69 cents and 55 cents and take money off the table. We've still got a world of 2024 crop cotton sitting out there on the board that's going to have to be fixed. That's going to keep a hand on the market for us. I'm sorry to be so negative, but as we look to 25 crop, I'm very positive yet. Thank you.
All right. Any other comments before we wrap it up?
Somebody make something positive about that.
Please.
Yeah, the devil's lettuce is it's getting cheaper out here.
Well, I need something.
It's not inflationary.
Well, let's just wrap it up here. We want to thank our listeners for joining us. Thanks to BASF for making our program possible. Thanks to our speakers, to Kip and to John. And that concludes this edition of the Ag Market Network.